only in Narcotics Anonymous. My name is Shatina, and I'm an addict. Right now, I live in Tri-County, which is a part of the CMP region, and today I am so grateful to be a part of this region, to be a part of this convention. And the program committee really did an awesome job. The people at registration did an awesome job. What I'm seeing is service in action, and I don't see this kind of service in action every day, not with people that I know. I think I know probably 90% of the people who are serving. And that says a lot for me. The topic is We Do Recover. I'm a person who I don't like relationships with people. I don't like people. I would prefer to just be at home in my basement using, which is what I did for years. But they said, what do you have to change, Shatina? And that meant everything. So I had to come out of that box and have relationships. I had ruined a lot of relationships. But when I first came here, I had to have a relationship with the people in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. They said the group was the most powerful thing for somebody coming in, and I had to connect to the group. The group was where I was going to find my sponsor. The group was where the hope was for me. And I tried to do that to the best of my ability when I first got here. However, for the people who are new, the topic is we do recover. That's an affirmative. There is no gray area. We do recover. There are some experienced members in this room that can tell you, when they got here, show of hands, how many people were homeless? How many people were penniless? How many people were desperate and depressed? Look at these people. They are the experienced members. So newcomer, don't associate out. That's what I did. And I stunted my recovery process because of my own thinking, because I didn't want to associate in. And the first word of the first step is we. That means that it's not an I, my, or me program. Shatina, you need to put that stuff in the car, come in, and connect with the people. We do recover, again, is the we. I'm a firm believer that there's no way that I can stay clean for another 24 hours if I don't connect to that we. The we gave me the hope that there was a possibility that I didn't have to go to jail anymore, that there was a possibility that I could drive my car home from work and not find myself driving into the quarters. Because I heard people who had been doing that, and the we said, you don't have to keep doing it ever again, even when you want to, because I was driving my car in there when I didn't want to go. The process for me started, of course, you know, like everybody else, you get in here and you are just like flat, busted, disgusted, broken. I had nothing else. And really, all I thought that I was going to get was just abstinence, just not using. And really, for real, that was all I wanted. Because the using led me to Shepherd Pratt. The using led me to Psychiatric Institute. The using led me in and out and in and out. And so that's all that I wanted. And they said, Shatina, abstinence is not recovery. And I didn't get that at first. So I'm telling the newcomers, just stay and stop. It's not recovery. Someone pointed out to me the other day that only after surrender can the process start. So if I'm still tugging and pulling and tugging and pulling, you know, I'm doing a battle with myself. I haven't even connected with the we. So I was told that the only way I could get the freedom that's at the top of our symbol was to do some work. They said, get some tools, put it in a box, and when your ass is on fire, you better pull them out. The symbol that my sponsor so eloquently makes me continually go over to remind me that that's my compass for what this program is about. You have God, self, society, and service with goodwill at the base. If I stay focused on that, one day at a time, I will recover. One day at a time, I was told, Shatina, find a God of your understanding. And of course, you know, I'm an arrogant addict. I know everything. I didn't come to Narcotics Anonymous and find God. I knew God before I got here. And they said, well, the God that you knew was not helping you to stay clean. So I had to, like, basically throw out everything that I thought I knew, because I realized I didn't know anything. I talked about service when I first got here and what I'm learning. The more service I do, the more I recover. The more service I do, the more I stay out my own way. The more service I do, the more I connect to y'all, because y'all are serving. If I stay home, I will not increase the base. I will start feeding myself the questions and the answers, and I'll find myself in my car again, going places against my own will. But if I stay connected to the we of the first step and then flip it to the tradition, the first tradition, which talks about unity, the first tradition says I can't even begin to recover unless I become united with the program of Narcotics Anonymous. That means committing to a sponsor. That means committing to a home group. There's no option, Shatina. Because I'll try to figure out a way. I mean, you know, you say it's $10, but can you take $7.50? You know, I mean, I'm one of them people, I'm coming with shorts. I am coming with short money, so you need to know it. And I'm coming every time, because if you did it this time, then you're going to do it the next time. You're going to do it the next time. They know. And so I don't have to take you through a whole bunch of drama. Usually I just get my way. But the difference is I came in here and they said, Shatina, no shorts. Getting a sponsor is not an option. You don't have to get a sponsor. Just be abstinent and be miserable as hell. And I went through a period of time of not having a sponsor, and I was driving myself crazy, everybody who came in contact with me crazy, the people who hadn't even met me yet, they had it coming. So if they just saw me in the back of the room, they needed to know drama was coming. And I think, unfortunately, we hear people say, I'm in recovery, and you got so much drama going around you, flies are flying around your drama because it's so old. And I had to get some clarity on, you know, what is recovery? Recovery means that I'm changing everything. I'm opening up my mind. I'm getting honest. I'm being willing. Willingness is action. I've had some response. He said, you know, I'm finished with my first step. I said, okay. You finished? Yeah, you know, I'm so relieved. I'm so happy to surrender. I said, okay, what first step did you do? Because I was mad as hell that I couldn't use. Because I realized I had to dump out everything. I had to get rid of it. I had to flatline, so that I could get the hope of the second step, because y'all gave me the hope of the second step. I lost my son. I went to prison. I had a record. I went to Tri-County with 4 trash bags of clothes. That's how I was living. And so that's all that I knew. I came in here and saw people saying, in spite of the record, I was able to get a job here, there. In spite of, I was able to get my children back in my life. And I had to sit on my hands and just believe because y'all believed for a long time. I remember I had, I think, almost 2 years clean. I had my first place, and I asked my ex-husband if my son could come and live with me. He thought about it for 30 days and said no. Okay, one thing I do know is I don't do anything without telling somebody first. That's a major thing, because see, if I had told him that and he said no, I could have used that as an excuse to go back out. But I'm going to tell you, so many people, and thank God for people who got the same clear message. Don't do nothing. Keep coming. Keep recovering. Keep working your steps. The spiritual principles will get in you. You ain't got to tell him nothing. The God of your understanding will bring your son back. And I said, yeah, right. I ain't believe that. But, again, fake it till you make it. So I acted as if. And I can stand here and tell you that my son has not lived with me since he was like 4 years old up until this last school year. My son is living with me now. I didn't have to beg, borrow, plead, take nobody to court. You know, those character defects didn't have to come out. I didn't have to burn up nobody's car, anything. My ex-husband, seriously, as a direct result of seeing me change, and this is someone I used with, said that it's time for him to come and live with you. And that blew me away. That says that I am recovering because, you know, I think recovery is restoration, but it's also new and different and bigger and better. Let's say, Shatina, you can have a mansion or you can have a hut. You choose. And I didn't understand what that meant. You know, I had a lot of dreams and aspirations before I got here, and they all went in the pipe. They all went on the block. Because I compromised everything. When I started compromising my self-esteem, my self-respect, it all went. When I got here, I didn't really think that I could do anything, but my mouth said something totally different. And that's where the process of the fourth step came, because I realized that I had so many masks that I couldn't even fit them all into a box, that I was so fragmented And that the only way for me to ever have any hope of the dreams that they're saying that can be awakened was to get into the process. And I could say that the process has been very interesting. I shared before that the first four-step I did, I passed over it with a minimum of concern. Y'all said I needed to do it. People were scared of doing it. I didn't want to be a punk, so I did it to the best of my ability. And it barely kept me in my seat. It didn't change any of my behaviors. And that's what they said, the behaviors have to change, and I didn't totally understand what that meant. That meant that, Shatina, you know what? When you run out of money, it is no longer okay to take somebody else's checks and go to the bank and try to cash it. That's no longer an option. And I did that in active addiction. And I bought a lot of those behaviors here. And I didn't think I had to give those up. I just had to give up the stem. I had to give up going on the block. Y'all said change the people. Okay. I didn't hear stop the illegal activity. I missed that. Y'all didn't say that. That wasn't part of the clarity statement. And so it had me out there. And see, I'm only as sick as my secrets because I wasn't telling anybody until my ass got on fire so hot I couldn't stand myself, just like using and using and using, want to come home, but you find yourself stuck. How am I still stuck here? How am I still stuck here when I got a house and I'm in the projects on the south side and I can't get out and there's so much dirt on this floor, but I got my son in here? This is craziness. So I realized that I could not continue the actions the way that I was thinking because I couldn't stand having those feelings clean. I was clean, but I was having the voided out feelings of doing things that were not right. The goodwill says doing the next right thing for the right reason. I didn't totally get that either because I said, well, I ain't there yet, so I ain't got to worry about that. That's probably part of them tradition things, and I ain't there. I'm on the step part. But what I realized was I can kill myself. They said it was me and you, you know, the tradition. No, I was killing myself by continuing to participate in a pattern of behavior that was going to kill me if I did not make some major decisions to change. But I can say today, because of that relationship that I was told to get with the God of my understanding, that I take every situation that I have to my higher power. I don't know about anybody else, but I've learned that I cannot continue this journey without a presence that's bigger than me, that can keep me off my knees, that can keep me out the crack house, that can keep me from going into banks taking money that does not belong to me, when I have my back pressed up against the wall with some financial issues. And what I've learned is that the more open I am and the more willing I am, the more blessed I've been. I have been blessed on this side. I mean, man, I'm gonna tell you like this. My jacket, and I'm not lying, my criminal jacket sits this high off the table. And I did all that damage in a matter of 2.5 years. That blows my mind. The other night, I typed in my name. You know how they have these background searches. You can find out anything about anybody, if they in the system, out of the system. I pulled my name up, and I said, you know, that's a damn shame. That's a damn shame. Because, see, people will see me today, and they got to know that I got to remember. I can be LaShawn, Teresa. They got to know that I got to remember. I will make a check. You don't have to give me yours. I would tell people, anything you give me, I can take a look at it and I can reproduce it. What? Yes, anything. I'm a desktop publisher, graphic designer. I thought that was slick. And today I have a job where I'm on the computer and my mother continually checks in with me. You know, you all right? Because when I moved on my own, I was in treatment. That was my path. I went to treatment. I lived with a family who pretty much adopted me and my children. I got pregnant 5 months in clean. I had a set of twins a month before my first year anniversary. So I was still, you know, walking in stuff that I really needed a lot of help and support. I had to realize I needed more than just y'all to help me. I had to go to, like, you know, get outside help and then help outside of that help. And help, I had so many caseworkers at one time, but I needed them. I had ruined my life. I had just sucked everything out, and I had to start all over. And you're talking about a grown woman over 30 years old who had to have so much help because I added to my own drama by getting pregnant, trying to get clean. I was in treatment. My mother said, all you're supposed to do is go down there and stop smoking crack. What are you doing? But I'm going to tell you, the void must be filled. I don't care. The void must be filled. I filled it for so long. I mean, we're talking about somebody who would go write some checks, stroke it, and I mean, I'm buying packages like I'm about to sell some packages. But that's, I'm just going to use all of that. That's how big of a void I had. I'm buying like the dealers are buying. And I really didn't want to share shit with no females. That's how I was. I mean, I'm talking about smoking all day for days, and when I was getting ready to run out, now we got to figure something else out. You know, the We Do Recover talks about with or without. With, clearly, I have a record that shows that I can't live with it. Without, I do stuff like fill the void with sex and get pregnant 5 months clean. And now have to make the next right decision because it's the right thing to do because now you got this substance out of you. Can you stay clean? One day at a time. And those were such a beautiful 5 months. They were just so beautiful. But again, I put that higher power in this box, and I really didn't think that he could handle that situation. And so I was willing to take a risk. And my solution was to just, you know, I'll just have an abortion, and we'll just, like, start all over. But he saw fit to demand my attention and to start changing me in different ways. Really, truly, I didn't, without my permission. Thank God for a sponsor. I had a sponsor at that time. And you do not know what's going to happen to you early in recovery. A guide is so critical. So critical. I mean, I'm serious. If I didn't have somebody to talk to hold my hand, to really truly love me, to walk me back to a relationship with a God in my understanding, because she had it. She was in the recovery process. And I didn't understand. I was like, what did this woman want from me? She just wanted to stay in her chair. So that's what she was doing. But she taught me that if you want to keep what you have when you get it, you're going to do the same thing. And I was like, no, I'm way too selfish for that. I ain't got that kind of time. Because she was spending a lot of time with me. And because I was pregnant, you know, I had a whole lot of other emotional things going on. And she was scared to death that I was, you know, used, not tell her I was using, and still had a baby. So the process has been just that, a process. Without drugs, you leave your purse. Without the drugs and no spiritual principles, I got me going in it. You know, the behavior, the only thing, the antidote to the behavior is the spiritual principles. And thank God for a sponsor that helped me to understand step work is not just answering the questions. Shatina, you got to do more than just answer the questions. You got to do more than read the questions. You got to apply the things in your life. You got to start being honest. Okay, you know how to spell honesty, H-O-N-E-S-T-Y, so what? Be honest. You know, you're talking about somebody that I didn't even realize who I was after all of the stuff that I did. So it was like, okay, fine, let's start at square one. You know, you got to get honest, and you just got to be open and remain teachable. That was difficult. I'm sorry, because I tell you quick, you know, I have a high school diploma with 2 years of college. I really don't think that there's anything that you can teach me. That's where I was, for real, for a long time. I mean, and I said it like, as soon as you say something, I'd be like, look, I got 2 years of college. What is you talking about? And I mean, and would like do it with like attitude, and a lot of times people would back up off of me. And that was my defense mechanism. Because it was still so much stuff that I did not know, but I really wasn't willing to let you know that I didn't know. But what I realized is that I better let somebody know that I don't know if I want to grow. And that's just real simple. I realized that I had to open my soul up to allow these spiritual principles to come in so that, you know, with or without drugs, without the drugs now, when things start happening, I got to take a look at, okay, so what's really going on, Shatina? Get honest and get open And that means that then I'm going to call someone to say, okay, well, what do you think about this? Because I was never calling anybody to tell them anything because you just was not as smart as me. Simple. And that kind of behavior killed me. And now I realize that I have to be more humble. My clean date is September 27, 2002, and I am finding in this seventh year, I have to do more. I'm having to connect more to the God of my understanding. I think I'm a service junkie right now because I'm scared of not staying plugged in. I'm watching people relapse. I don't want to, now that I understand that it is a process and it's an action process and it's a process of more love, more peace, more compassion, more trust. The God of my understanding is shaping me and molding me in ways that I didn't even understand. You know, I have daughters who have never, ever seen me use. You would not know by the way they act, because they crazy. But they've never seen me use. My son would be, you know, wake up, go to sleep, wake up, and I wouldn't be there. But as a direct result of this process, you know, I'm recovering in that area too. I'm recovering with a son who is 13 years old, living with his mother that he's never lived with since he was 4 years old. My son comes to meetings with me. He knows that I'm in recovery. I don't do a fifth step with my son, but I need my son to know your father's an addict, I'm an addict, my mother's an addict, my father's an addict, his father is an addict. So you need to understand what this process is about. Because I know that I abandoned you. I know that I've taken you through some emotional things. Now, I only know this through the process because remember, you know, I have all the answers. So I really never really thought that I would get to this place with my son where I'm really trying to do the next right thing because it's the right thing to do. But I'm bumping and grinding with it because this is a child that, you know, when we were in the house together, I was using. So when he got on my nerves and he was crying, I got high. Now he get on my nerves, I got to pray. I got to call somebody. Or I might just act out and threaten his life and then realize that I have to come back and give him a minute. I done threatened his life several times. He is, you know, we go through this control battle. He think he right, I think I'm right. He think he's smart, I think I'm smart. I'm battling with a 13-year-old who's 5'11", size 13 and a half shoe. My son is 13, okay? Now, I was not using with him. He was born 10 pounds and 3 ounces. And I'm finding that really, truly, I'm so powerless. And this is where step 1, 2, and 3 come in and it allows me to recover in this area. You know, I'm realizing the amends that I'm making to my son is being a parent who's not using, who's suiting up and showing up for life, teaching him spiritual principles against his will. Against his will, he ain't trying to hear all this stuff. You going to a meeting? Please go so you can leave me alone. You know, he'd be like, okay, and when are you coming back? I'd be like, I'll be back when I get back. Don't be doing nothing you ain't supposed to do. But he'd be trying to clock me, like, you know. But I did that to my mother. I was trying to clock her because I was trying to do something I ain't had no business doing. But what I realized, if my son is out there doing things that he don't have no business doing, I'm powerless. But I'm not powerless over checking his cell phone. Because I want to know what's going on. I will not be the last one to know. But I realized that he's going through. He's a child of a mother who abandoned him at 4. I'm not in denial about that. I was in prison and told my son I was at school. I'm not in denial about the fact that he has been through some things as a direct result of my using. But sometimes I'll go there and I'll just tell him, I told him, I said, look, I will take all your stuff and throw it outside and you'll be sleeping in the yard. Keep messing with me. How unspiritual is that? And then I got to, you know, say, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm continuing this same pattern of behavior, and I'm not getting anywhere. And really, truly, I'm fearful. I'm fearful of doing the wrong thing, and I'm scared of doing the right thing because I don't want him to think that, you know, it's okay not to be disciplined. This is a journey that has had me to realize that I don't have all the answers. And I really have been asking people to help me connecting to the we to get through this. Thank God that I can understand the difference between abstinence and recovery. If I began to ask advice for those who have no spiritual principles, no honesty, no open-mindedness, no willingness, no compassion, no humility, then I'm a train wreck. And see, I would ask somebody to co-sign my stuff just so I can keep going with it. But I know that that pattern of behavior will kill me. Okay, I'm getting ready to close out. The experienced members who now have experienced going back to school, getting jobs they never thought that they would have, living a life that they never thought that they could possibly live, raise your hands. Newcomers, look at this. That's hope. That's the second step. That's the restoration to sanity. I really believe that I feel like I'm more than sane some days because I was just so insane that the blessing that I have on this side, you know, I mean, we're talking about somebody who was getting up at 11 o'clock. I now get up at 6:30. That's being more than responsible. The 10th step says at some point I got to take a look at the physical, the spiritual, the emotional, where I'm at now. And I've made, you know, some major changes to stay in the process. Complacency shows up not just with not going to meetings, if I'm not going to the doctors, if I'm not taking care of myself, because I'll fill that void with anything. I'll fill that void with chocolate and more chocolate. And find myself looking and wondering, how come I gained 75 pounds? Only to have to go to my sponsor and say, you know, I think I've picked up a food addiction. And I need some help with this. Thank God for the experience of somebody to tell me that sometimes that happens. We will pick up something else. But now, take a 10th step, Shatina. If you want to stay here to enjoy your recovery, get honest and do the next right thing. This past year, I have lost about 50 pounds. This past year, I've gone back to college. I am on the president's list. And it's not to say that I'm smart, but that's to say that I can work hard. I don't have to take anything from anyone. I can earn it. And it's not to prove anything to you, but it's to prove something to myself because I took so much for so long. I have people in my life who helped me to see that I could go back to school and that I could do it, still go to meetings, still be in service, and still be a mom. And I just want to thank y'all for continuing to come, continuing to encourage me one day at a time, just watching you share, listening to the hope in you. I need that hope. I need to watch people in service who serve according to the traditions and the steps because I'm still growing and developing. That's restoration. I'm done? Okay. Thank you for letting me share.
Honest, thanks, Shatina, for sharing. At this time, I'd like to welcome my next speaker. His name is Frankie.
Hey, Frankie!
Good morning, family.
Hey.
I'm a recovering act. My name's Frank. And I'm cleaned by God's grace and God's mercy and the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I want to thank you for sharing. And I want to thank the Chesapeake Potomac region for not taking a risk, but just asking me to serve, you know, and to always be very, very grateful and a privilege when it comes to being asked to do something in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I've had the opportunity and all my years clean here. You know, I got clean in the Chesapeake Potomac region, you know, and I had the opportunity when I had 7 years clean to be program chair here and 3 years clean program chair. The opportunity to watch countless addicts recover from the disease of addiction. Listen, speaking is not a competitive sport, so it don't matter whether I go first, second, third, or fourth. It really don't. You know, my story is still going to be what I have in Narcotics Anonymous. Yeah, we recover from all different symptoms of the disease of addiction. Listen, I ain't got no canned message. I just wasn't thinking about what to share. Because honestly, I didn't come to the convention to share, and I don't. I was just caught up in the hallway talking with friends, and like I know what it takes for to be on any committee in Narcotics Anonymous. I know what it takes to be behind the scenes, you know. So it doesn't fill my ego or my image. Listen, this is just an opportunity for me to get honest and get a brand new start with what's going on with me. That's it. Listen, I ain't gonna take you through no Gucci stuff, man. I've been through all the topics and all them crazy drama topics and step topics, tradition topics, you know. So me and my friend Rick were talking before, and really I was just going to call up my friend on the committee and just say, look, you know, you can grab somebody, do this, I'm going home. You know, I heard the young lady talk about just going home, and that's what I want to do, is just go home with self and sit with self and deal with what I'm dealing with myself, you know. And I'm recovering from the disease of addiction, but right now I'm recovering from a whole lot of pain, you know. I just know that no matter how much pain I'm going through, no matter what pain shared in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, that I still have a responsibility to tie it into our message. You know, and the message that has fit my recovery is that, listen, I haven't used no matter what. You know, no matter what's come down the pike since I entered the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I haven't used no matter what. You know, and no matter what, I know just for today, going through what I'm going through right now, that I'm going to recover through it. You know, the pain and the hardship and the sadness and the grieving that I'm going through is that I know that when I'm at the other side, there's going to be some peace, and I'm still going to be able to come back to the group or come back to wherever I'm supposed to and lift God up and thank God. You know, I'm not trying to hurt nobody along the way in recovering in the pain that I'm in. Right, maybe I should have had the topic of dealing with feelings in the hurt or something like that, or loving you, losing me. Maybe that, but listen, man, I don't know. You know, really, I don't. I just know that right now is that I'm clean today. I woke up clean. I woke up clean without the obsession to use drugs, without the obsession to want to hurt myself, commit suicide. I'm talking about after years clean here. You know, I want to thank Kenny and my friend John, Fiona, and Mitch, and people that hugged me when they see me. Some good smiles. You know, Eddie back there. Some friends that I've seen. Because, listen, I'm going to come out the gate and free myself here, right? Because, look, I've been like on a DL this whole weekend here. Right? I remember back in 1992 when I got clean and I came to my first Narcotics Anonymous convention here. It was Sharing from the Heart. And I was at about 9 months clean. I was sitting, it's before this convention was, where this place was renovated. And I was sitting in the meeting, and the big heart was up there, right? And I cried, and I was sitting, I was crying. I was like, wow, the experience. There was, at that time, probably about 3,000 addicts here, you know? And listen, I embraced embraced the joy. And ever since then, I've always been like a convention goer, you know? And I like people. I'm a very socializable person. I embrace everybody. I'm not about a color, a white, a black addict, a Puerto Rican addict. I ain't about that, you know. I like, listen, and my friends have been telling me, and I know that, noticing a lot from this is that, listen, I wear my feelings on my shirt. Right? Listen, man, I love hard, and I like hard, and I pray hard, right? And I play hard. Right? And listen, it's turned around to put me in some places in Narcotics Anonymous where I've been stamped on. And listen, I ain't talking about a victim of violence. We hear that. Oh, you ain't no victims here and all that stuff. But you know, sometimes from loving hard and praying hard and being the good guy here, you get hurt. And I ain't going to share nothing to hurt nobody. I'm just sharing from my heart to help myself get out of myself because I'm in a lot of pain. And this weekend's been hard for me. I have felt like I've been incarcerated in my clean time, right? And in my recovery, I watch where I'm going, who I'm talking to, and then that's what's going on. And I ain't been sharing back home on the floor very little. Listen, I've turned down a lot of commitments and carrying the message because I can carry the message just being on the phone talking to the addict or the person who's in the group who's hurting. This is just a little backbone of carrying the 12 step and carrying the message. This is just a little backbone of the 12th step, man. You know, I carry the message by being in my home group and just being there and members knowing, look, I know where I can find Frank if I need to. He's in his home group Wednesday night to get the stepping group of Narcotics Anonymous. It's the flat book meeting, step working guy meeting. And I'm there every Wednesday night. So people know where I'm at. You know, but I've had to be real, real vigilant on what I'm doing and what I'm going through. You know, we do recover. I was listening to the sister talk about, like, family and children and everything, and I was outside the convention. Listen, I had 10 years clean, and when I had 10 years clean, God blessed me with a beautiful little girl. And she says she's 7. I share about her all the time. She's the only love that's told me they love me has never left me. Right? And listen, I've had a really great weekend here, but I've had a real rough weekend. You know what I'm saying? I've been up in my room chilling. My sponsor did history yesterday here, and I've had the opportunity to hang with my sponsor and smoke cigars and just relax and do the. I ain't been relaxed. I've been really like torn up, y'all. You know? Because I don't wear that image and ego and my clean time badge on me, and I got it going on with 17 years and some change. I don't roll like that, man. I've had a lot of people I thought were my friends walk out of my life, abandon me, just like my mom did when I was a day old. She abandoned me. But when I heard Hannah's name outside, and I called my daughter, and we were praying together, she said, "Can we pray together, Daddy?" I said, "We won't pray together, Daddy. Your daddy will pray with you." And we were praying, and all I kept hearing was her little voice, not missing people in prayer. And I'm going to tell you something. That's all I need to hear this morning to lift me up just enough to be able to walk in the convention, do this meeting, and go home. And go home. Listen, I have a house, but I still got to tell myself it's my home. Because anybody can have a house. You can make a house out of cardboard, man. But what you do inside that cardboard is what counts as home. So that's what's keeping me going. Because listen, man, I don't want to go home to and just be OB, just sit with myself. Listen, I'm a big dreamer here. I was listening to the sister dream and talk about dreams. Listen, yeah, real freedom is now possible. Newcomer, old timer, no matter what's going on in your life, right? I know that. I know that right this moment. I'm holding on to my dreams. Because listen, man, my friend already used to say, Frankie, you only share is the white picket fence, the family, the home. Listen, I don't know how you dream. I don't know if it's just a dream to have a day clean, a day is one. That's the greatest dream we can ever have. You know what I'm saying? And my I've had a lot of dreams here, and I've had a lot of sad memories, man. I'm not going to sit here and tell you all my recovery, that I've recovered gracefully, right? That there hasn't been some real sad times. You know, my mom died right when I got clean. My mom died right when I got clean. And right when I got clean, my mom died, you know, and I had 92 days clean, and the group and my sponsor and, like, everybody. I had already changed people, places, and things and playmates, you know, and I had the opportunity to bury my mom clean at 92 days. At a year, I buried my grandfather. At 5 years, I buried my grandmother, you know. This convention has always touched my spirit. I've never missed it since I've been clean. And I've been all over this world in conventions, and because I've had the opportunity, listen, to not live in a box, you know. Not live in a box, you know. And there's been a lot of joy in my recovery. There's been a lot of joy in my recovery, you know. But I have a whole new experience. 12-step talks about a new experience, right? And right now I'm going through a new experience. Listen, I'm going to touch on it. You know, I'm not going to go around it on, because I know when I get honest, I get a brand new start. And that's where I'm at. I'm getting a brand new start. A brand new start. And listen, when I talk about a brand new start, I'm talking about a brand new start still with my clean date. I'm not talking about going out and using and getting a great opportunity to come back. If that's happened in your life, welcome home again, man. You know, just welcome back to Narcotics Anonymous. I'm talking about a brand new start, still with my clean date. Still with like hold my head up, because I'm telling you, it's real hard. I suffer from no self-esteem. Lack of self-acceptance, still believing in old negative tapes about who I am, still believing I'm not worthy enough, still believing that God has left me, still believing them old tapes that just creep up even after years clean, even after relationship with God. The disease is more alive and insidious and loud than it's ever been. Because, listen, it found a way to come at me through my most vulnerable part of my life, the dream. the dream. Now, I don't know how anybody dreams, but I dream big because I got a big God. And I dream big about myself because I believe, I have truly, truly believed in my recovery that why not have abundance of everything? You know, I can tell you about being penniless, jobless, and homeless clean. You know, I got a story in Narcotics Anonymous. It's been, my story's here. I got a story of the rough times, man, where my knees have been scraped up being on my knees, just living in prayer. They're my safest place being in prayer. I want to thank my friend John last night for just like, listen, man, I didn't come down to convention. You know, and we walked down the boardwalk, right? Because look, listen, I got clean. And my first sponsor, I watched him, he's still married, right? And like my dream was to be married. You see? To be married. You know? And I got the opportunity a year ago. Right? See, it's hard because I want to share. Like, it's all good. You know? And you know what I'm saying? I want to share. Because I don't put a black eye on nothing in here. I don't put a black eye on the fellowship. You know what I'm saying? I don't. And some things just don't work. You know? But... Through the step process along the way. I can tell you 10 years clean when a mother of my daughter I was just talking about left me for a woman. Devastated, man. Just moved to Baltimore. I got clean in Central Maryland here in this region and moved to Baltimore. And I was painless, jobless, and homeless, sleeping on friends' couches, you know, 10 years clean. And telling the story how that I was willing to sacrifice everything for my daughter. And listen, I don't have the court system running me and my daughter. I can see my daughter whenever I want. A matter of fact, I've been behind on my child support. Because it's a responsibility. It's a privilege to be a parent. I'm a great parent. When I got clean, I had to pay child support in Prince George's County. In June, it was $191,000. Listen, man, I smoked crack. I was a fire barrel bum outside of D.C., man. Gave blood for a living, right? And listen, man. And some of y'all know where PG County Upper Marlboro is. Man, it's a very frightening place for me. And the judge said, you're going to pay child support. I said, how? He said, you are. And in June, my oldest children turned 18, all three of them. I've been blessed. They're great children. They live in Prince George's County. They do great things. My oldest son just got out of the service, you know. Anyways. But 10 years clean, and I was in that situation. I moved out of Central Maryland. I moved to Baltimore, and that situation happened, right? And I can tell you, just for today, the mother of my daughter is one of my greatest friends. Greatest friends. She has been there. She's got 13 years clean, right? She's done remarried. And I share this a lot. And a lot of people, not a lot of people, but you know something? That's recovery. We're cordial, man. We're cordial. She said, listen. She's been there for me, man. Because I show up and I'm accountable. And I'm accountable to my daughter. And I'm accountable to her life. Her husband's a great man. I admire him so much. I have the highest allegiance to that man, my daughter's stepfather. You know, love them to death, man. They got to put up with me. You know, but she like sacrifices her own life to you know what I'm saying? So that her daughter's dad can like do the best he can and hold his head up high. You know, but listen, I just like back to the dream. I got sick and tired of you watching all my friends get married. Going to weddings after weddings after weddings. And then Just for Today talks about you'll go to funerals after funerals after funerals. And you'll have new birthdays. Just got sick and tired, man. Got sick and tired because I wanted to be the one. Because I believed in a God and I believe in this God that believes in commitment. Right? Believes in this. I believe in this God. Because listen, Narcotics Anonymous don't marry people. But you can get in preparation to be married in Narcotics Anonymous. And I truly, truly believed and trusted in what Narcotics Anonymous and my God was doing in the preparation for myself, man. You know? In the preparation for myself. And all the years clean here and the work and being consistent in it and being around people of good women of faith, good men of faith, men of God, good parenting, stuff that, and listen, man, that's just the road that I chose to take, you know, because I'm my daughter's greatest hero than God, you know, and her dream of daddy, when's somebody gonna, like, when are you gonna have a wife, huh? I can tell you about waking up clean for 14 years. I can tell you about 14 years clean and waking up in Walt Disney World on my clean day and it's Mickey Mouse knocking on the door. And me and my daughter are there. I can tell you about them dreams. I can tell you about waking up in places beyond my wildest dreams. And my daughter, me and my daughter are sitting there having breakfast for 14 years clean at that time in Walt Disney World. And Mickey Mouse and Winnie the Pooh and everybody's there. And I wanted to stand up and say, hey, everybody, I got 14 years clean, but it wasn't a place to do it. You know? So God said, look, when we were in the park, I ran into someone who had a medallion on her neck. So an identification right there in the park was, you know, and but listen, man, dreams do come true. It was beyond my wild. I always wanted, listen, my daughter, when she said she wanted to go to Walt Disney World, I created a dream. Just like my marriage, I created it, man. I believed, I bought into it, right? I bought into it. And last year on June 14th, I bought into it, man. I bought into it. Listen. Last year, when I left this convention and went home, last year has been a year. I left this convention on Sunday morning, man. On Sunday morning, I went home. I was picking up my wife's son and a babysitter. And I got out my truck, and a using addict floored his truck at me. And ran me over, lift me up in the air. It looked like something that came out of a movie. All I remember was being drugged on a 4x4, and that truck ran me right over a year ago, this past week. And I was laying in the hospital. I thought I was dead. The only thing saved me was God and my weight. It's true. I was dragged. And last week, we went to court, April 14th, the same day this accident happened. And the state's attorney asked me, he said, look, what do you want? I mean, you know, what do you want to say? And I said, you know something? And this is God's honest truth. I prayed for mercy, not justice. You know? And he said he went to another fellowship. He's 63 years old. You know, he's been in his job all his life, him and his wife, you know, and I can still walk. I still got my daughter. Still clean. Because I was like one soldier here who like wouldn't take pain medicine no matter what. Took pain medicine for a day and a half, didn't catch a habit and rolled. A lot of pain, man. And people came over and fed me, you know, and took care of my family, you know, and you got probation. The only thing I said, look, man, my suggestion was to send them to another fellowship that focuses on one symptom and find a sponsor, you know, and my hope is that he'll never pick it up again, get behind the wheel, because I was listening to him. And I could feel his own drama, you know, of being under the influence and almost taking someone's life, you know. It ain't an eye for an eye for me. It ain't that. But last June, you know, listen, I really feel like the failure, y'all. I got to be honest, man. I ain't holding it up. And it's not poor me, self-pity. Listen, man, I don't like having self-pity. I don't like feeling pitied about myself. But I have a disease that's a bad, cold disease, man. This disease is cold. This disease is so cold. It'll take you through your worst nightmare if it can. It'll make you do the worst deeds that you could ever do. We all have that story. And I tell you, you know, listen, man. When I walked in front of this God on that day, I made a commitment with this God. I'd be the best husband I could ever be, man. Because I believed in myself for so long. And my marriage has failed. And the last couple weeks been real hard, y'all. Real hard. Because I put the key in my door and my whole home was empty. Just my dog. Listen, man. Narcotics Anonymous again signed up and showed up. The givers showed up. And I've been coming home and there have been bags, sheets, pillows, coffee pot, knives, forks. Listen, man, I got to tell the story because, look, either it's getting ready to happen to someone in this meeting or someone just happened to someone else, you know? You know? And because I take real pride in like having my home, you know, take real pride in like, because listen, look, you know something, at 10 years clean, when I knew that I was becoming not a deadbeat dad, a daddy. At 10 years clean, when that time happened, I knew, God forbid, if anything ever happened to the mother of my daughter, I needed to have a place for my daughter to come to. No matter what, if anything, God forbid, ever happened to her mom. I've had the opportunity in the last 7 years to have a home, and a place for my daughter to come to, and a room. And I tell you something, thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, man. Thank God for the outside enterprises who have helped. Thank God for God for, like, listen, I don't know about you, but coming home and seeing a bag there with sheets and plates. And listen, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm real, real grateful. I'm real grateful. I'm real grateful, y'all. I'm just not running around wearing a mask saying I'm just happy, joyous, and free that I'm getting divorced. I'm sorry I'm not. Because I know the best revenge is just keep living right. The best I can. You know, the best I can. You know something? I still believe today my best is the best. I know it's not my last shot at love. I know that. I know it's not my last shot at love, man. You know that? I know that no matter what, hey, look, you know, just real, 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 real scary, guys, gals. It just is, you know, because when I put the key in my home, I don't walk in and be the husband, the dad, right? You wear that suit. The provider. You see what I'm saying? You know, I just walk in my home and it's just Frank. You see? So I don't wear that suit no more. That cape. Because listen, man, I told you, I love hard, I pray hard, I play hard. At 10 years clean, I was in what I call, look, at 10 years clean, I was $14,000 behind on my child support. I was shoveling rat shit for a living for $45 a day in the streets of Baltimore City. 10 years clean. And you know something? I was so grateful that I wasn't using. Because, look, recovery and relapse says we've never seen an addict relapse who lives the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Never. It's a very strong statement. Our literature tells us, and our fellowship tells us that we never got to use again. You know, and I could tell you what. Thank God for my pet. Thank God for my dog, man. Listen, that guy, God talks to everything. Listen, man. Listen, I tell you what, that guy, my dog. Hey, listen, you took it all, that's okay, it can be replaced. But my dog, and I've always been a pet lover, you know. I've lost pets, I've been in the meetings crying how my cat died and all that, you know. Everybody gets a new experience here. When I'm crying, the disease is dying, you know. Listen, and I haven't been, you know. I haven't been crying. I've been so much in shock. Because I know everybody grieves so many different ways. You know? Grieving's a lifelong process, but it tells us in the second step, it works how and why, not to stay stuck in it. You know? We grieve sufficiently. Listen, I grieved this relationship, my marriage, a long time ago, but not the situations that happened, like the way it happened. So I'm grieving a new experience now. A new experience. Right? And I'm not. Most importantly, I'm talking about me calling God all them four-letter words that I used to call God all the time. I'm just asking God, okay, you provide, and you just keep on providing because I know you will. I know how almighty you are and what you can do still with me. I know God's not finished with me yet. This is not a fake thing saying, okay, I'm done with you now. I just brought you here, and I'm just throwing you off, man. You know. So I want to thank everybody here for the hugs, you know, and the prayers, you know, because we're gonna keep on praying. And me and my daughter are gonna be all right, right? We're gonna be all right. I'm gonna keep on telling the story. You know, I'm gonna hold my head up like a Narcotics Anonymous soldier does here, right? I'm not using no matter what. No matter what. Listen, you know, it was hard just now, y'all. Listen, I got a disease that says, don't tell no one nothing. Listen, don't tell no one nothing. But I know as soon as I get honest, I get a brand new start. And I know that I can enjoy my ride home. I can enjoy and look forward to next year here. Right, that's hope. I was listening to the sister say hope. I still have hope without an expiration date. I keep coming back.